in my high school English class, I remember we had an assignment where we had to read two stories, The Necklace by Guy de Maupassant and The Gift of the Magi by O. Henry. And both are about seeking things of value, and both go about that search in very different ways. The Necklace is about a pretentious woman who was invited to a ball, and she and her husband were not poor, but they were not wealthy either. And the woman always aspired to be well received by her neighbors and friends, many of whom were wealthier and of higher status than she. And she wanted to impress them and appear wealthier than she actually was. So in deciding what to wear to the ball, she thought an accessory good enough to complement her gown would be necessary. She wanted to have just the right necklace. So she borrowed a necklace from her wealthy friend. It was very ornate and had jewels on it. And her husband thought she didn't need such adornment. She thought just fresh roses in her hair looked pretty. But her wife insisted that she wear the necklace, so she did. And she did impress her friends at the ball wearing the necklace, but when she arrived home, she noticed the necklace was gone. It had fallen off at some point during the evening, and she and her husband looked everywhere for it, the house and the yard and outside and the carriage in which they traveled to the ball, all to no avail. They asked the hostess of the ball if she or anyone else had seen it, and they had not. The necklace was gone. And what was the woman to do, as her friend was anxious to get back her necklace? And rather than face the shame of facing her friend and telling her what had happened, she made plans to replace the necklace. But because it had very costly jewels in it, it had to be custom made to match the original, and it proved to be very expensive to replace. They had to take out a loan to pay for it, and her husband had to take out a second mortgage on the house, and they each had to take extra jobs to pay for this necklace. And their social standing fell as they could no longer afford the lifestyle they used to have because of replacing this necklace. And one day they were finally finished paying off the debt, and the woman ran into her friend, who was surprised to see her in such a low estate. The woman broke down and told her friend what had happened, the lengths they went to in order to replace this necklace. And her friend, upon hearing the story, gasped in horror, telling the woman the original necklace was only a fake, costume jewelry, and was not the expensive piece the woman had thought it was. The woman unknowingly had replaced a piece of costume jewelry with the real thing, and it had undone her. The woman's pride and pretension over this necklace had brought about her downfall. If she had been honest with her friend in the first place, she and her husband could have avoided these years of toil and anxiety and paying back this debt. Moreover, if she had simply been content with what she had in the first place, she never would have needed to borrow the necklace. The woman in the necklace was pursuing what she thought was of great value: outward appearance and impressing others, hiding behind a facade rather than being content with who she really was. And her selfish ambition and pretense had made her miserable and poverty-stricken. And in contrast, the story The Gift of the Magi by O. Henry is about a very different couple who were also pursuing things of value to them. Only in this case, they were focused solely on the other's well-being rather than their own self-interest or impressing others. The Gift of the Magi is about a couple who wanted to buy each other gifts at Christmas. And they were both poor and didn't have much money. But they each wanted to get the other something truly special, something of value that would be cherished and appreciated. And the woman named Della had very long and beautiful hair. And her husband Jim thought that a set of combs with mother-of-pearl inlay would look lovely in her long hair. Della, his wife, knew Jim treasured his pocket watch, yet he had no fob on which to keep his watch, and she knew that he would greatly appreciate a new fob for his watch. Each wanted to get the others these gifts, but these gifts were expensive, and they had no extra money to purchase them. So unbeknownst to the others, they made arrangement to buy the extravagant gifts for each other. To pay for the watch fob, Della sold her long, beautiful hair. And to buy the hair combs, you guessed it, Jim pawned his beloved pocket watch. When when they presented their gifts to each other at Christmas, rather than being sad about losing their treasured possessions, they were happy, knowing that they had each other. They had such a deep love for each other that their gifts did not seem like a sacrifice, but rather a joy. The story, The Gift of the Magi, of course, makes reference to the gifts that the Magi, the wise men, brought to the young Jesus, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel. The Magi were from the East. They were not Jewish, nor did they practice the Jewish religion. It's believed they were Zoroastrians, which was a type of Eastern astrology that looked for signs and wonders in the stars and the heavens. Yet God called these Magi to search for the baby Jesus, using a star in the heavens as a guide. They too sought after something valuable, one who was to be born King of the Jews. They searched, hoping to find Jesus and worship him. They brought their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and these seemed like odd gifts for a baby, yet had a lot of significance. You see, gold was a royal gift. Gold was presented to kings, to rulers, to monarchs. They gave Jesus gold, for he was to be King of the Jews, and in fact, King of all kings. The second gift was frankincense. This was a gift given to more than a king. It was a gift for a deity, one who was God. Frankincense was burned in the worship of deities. And this gift is believed to acknowledge Jesus as God. The third gift was even more amazing and perhaps even more strange than the others. You see, myrrh was used as an embalming fluid in corpses. In other words, it was used when people died to preserve their bodies. Kind of a weird gift for a baby shower. Myrrh has to do with death, and it's believed that this myrrh foreshadowed Jesus' sacrificial death for the sins of the world, that Jesus would give his life in order that others would live. These gifts were costly and required sacrifice on the part of the bearers. The wise men searched and sought out Jesus and gave him costly sacrificial gifts. And although they were not part of the Jewish community, the Magi sought out Jesus and worshiped him, bearing extravagant gifts as a sign of their worship. Scripture says there is another who sought Jesus, but for very different reasons. There was another king of the Jews, King Herod, who wanted to find the Christ child. Herod, known as Herod the Great or Herod the First, was a Roman client king of Judea, referred to as the Herodian Kingdom. It was essentially a puppet king under Roman authority. Herod has been described as a madman who murdered his own family and a great many rabbis. The evil genius of the Judean nation prepared to commit any crime in order to gratify his unbound ambition. Not a particularly nice guy. Herod was also known as the greatest builder in Jewish history, known for his colossal building projects of Judea, including his expansion of the Second Temple in Jerusalem, known as Herod's Temple, the construction of the port at Caesarea Maritima, and the fortress at Masada and Herodium. Herod did not want to worship the baby Jesus, although that was his guise. He viewed Jesus as a threat to his own power. And given his reputation, he was not going to let this threat go unchallenged. Herod wanted to destroy Jesus so he himself could remain in power. Matthew records how Herod ordered the death of all boys under the age of 2 throughout the region of Bethlehem, known as the infamous murder of the innocents. Herod sought the baby Jesus not to worship him and present him with gifts, but in order to kill him so his own power could remain intact. However, Herod's plan was thwarted and Jesus survived. It's believed Herod did not live much longer. According to many biblical scholars, he died not long after Jesus was born. Herod spent the last years of his life seeking Jesus out of selfish ambition to further his own political gains, but ultimately failed at remaining in power. After Herod's death, Rome divided his kingdom among several others, who continued to rule under Roman authority. Of course, Jesus lived on after Herod. He grew up and began to teach and perform miracles, ushering in the kingdom of God. And then, of course, died a horrific death on the cross, but then miraculously rose again, according to Christian tradition. He ascended into heaven and gave his followers a commission to continue the work of the kingdom, which we carry on to this day. As for the Magi, we don't know what specifically became of them, but we know that they succeeded in finding what they were searching for, the Christ child, the baby Jesus. They worshiped him on what became the very first Epiphany, and we carry on the celebration of Epiphany Sunday on January 6th, which this year just happens to fall on a Sunday. Epiphany means manifestation, and it refers to the manifestation of God in glory, first in the star that led the wise men to Jesus, and then ultimately in Jesus himself. We too, like the wise men, are called to seek Jesus, to find him, and worship him with our very best. We may not give costly gifts like gold and frankincense and myrrh, but we can sacrificially give to God our time, our talents, our treasure, and our very selves. We can also give sacrificially to each other in Christ's name. When we love sacrificially, we become like the Magi. We experience the love and joy of Jesus, and our gifts to one another don't seem like a sacrifice. They seem like a natural outpouring of the joy and blessings we have received in Christ. Remember the two stories I referenced earlier. Well, they contain lessons for us. We can be like the wife in the first story, the necklace, who live for ourselves out of our own selfish ambition. We can live merely for pretense and to impress others and boost our own ego. Or we can be like Jim and Della in The Gift of the Magi. We can sacrifice, giving our very best to Jesus and to one another, and experience true love and true joy and true peace. O. Henry ends the story, The Gift of the Magi, like this. The Magi, as you know, were wise men, wonderfully wise men, who brought gifts to the babe in the manger. They invented the art of giving Christmas presents. Being wise, their gifts were no doubt wise ones, possibly bearing the privilege of exchange in the case of duplication. And here I have lamely related to you the uneventful chronicle of two foolish children in a flat who most unwisely sacrificed for each other the greatest treasures of their house. But in a last word to the wise of these days, let it be said that of all who give gifts, these two were the wisest. Of all who give and receive gifts, such as they are the wisest. Everywhere they are the wisest. They are the Magi. Wise men and women still seek the Christ child. And so let us become like Magi this Epiphany, who diligently seek the Christ child and worship him with costly gifts, who seek to serve and love one another sacrificially, as Jesus himself loved us and sacrificed himself for us sacrificially. Let us become the Magi this Epiphany and always. And may the Lord bless this message to our hearing. Amen. And now, friends, as we celebrate